Well, go ahead and open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Of course, we've been on 1 John for some time now, and on account of Mother's Day, I would like to just do a message about mothers. So Proverbs chapter 23, and notice verse 24 and 25. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. That's easy to remember, isn't it? 23, 24, 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Powerful thought, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, and I pray as I preach your word, Lord, that you'd please help me. Fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Guide and direct all of my thoughts and my words. I pray that all of them would be pleasing to thee. And Lord, as we take a moment today and think about mothers, I pray that this message would come to all of our hearts today and move us and change us to be what you want us to be. Thank you for your love. I do pray if someone's listening that's not saved, I pray that today they would come to know Christ as Savior. And for the believer, Lord, as we think of mothers, again, that our hearts would be open to the truths that we find not only in this passage, but in your word. Help me today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is a day that we have set aside in our nation to honor one of the most important yet underrated, one of the most difficult yet rewarding roles in our society, and that is motherhood. Motherhood. No other earthly position in this world has a greater impact on the next generation than mothers. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Other people and other positions do have an impact on people, no doubt. We all influence others, but none of them have a greater impact on a human being than a mom. So it's a good thing today to stop for a moment and honor and recognize mothers. You know, the Mother's Day is the third most popular holiday in America. Before it, it is outranked only by Christmas and, surprisingly, Valentine's Day. It is more important than Easter, more recognized or popular, I should say. Not important, but more popular than Thanksgiving. It is more popular than Father's Day. But it is. And today, mothers will receive all kinds of tokens, and rightly so, tokens of appreciation for their role in the lives of their children. Oh, they'll receive things like greeting cards. They'll receive flowers, gift cards, clothing, jewelry. I read the list of what's purchased for Mother's Day. Housewares, kitchen gadgets, gardening products, books and CDs and electronics. On a usual Mother's Day, mothers will be, like I said, a usual Mother's Day, not the COVID Mother's Day. They'll be taken out to dinner. They'll be taken on a special outing. They will be visited. They will be called. Or FaceTimed. All these things will happen on a regular Mother's Day, and rightfully so. All in all, on this day, $25 billion, that's right, billion, will be spent. And all of it with one purpose in mind, to honor our mothers, to show our love for them. To thank our moms for their love and their dedication and their care for us and the time that they spent, the investment they placed in our lives. And hopefully the goal, at least for today, but the goal is to make them happy. Make them glad. We've all heard the phrase, when mama's happy, everybody's happy. And there's some truth to that, isn't there? You see, there's something inside of all of us, every one of us, it's inside there that wants to please our moms. Isn't that true? There's something inside of us that we want to make our mothers happy. We want to make them glad. We want to make them, pardon the word, I understand the biblical connotation, but we want to make them proud of what we've done. I mean, more than the approval of friends, more than the approval of our peers, more than the approval of co-workers, or even receiving some kind of award, there is something special when we know that we've pleased Mom. We've made her happy. That we somehow have produced a joy in their lives. That should be the goal of all of us. Now, I want you to look at our text for a moment here. Again, notice we read in verse 24, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." You know, there's a biblical way. There's a biblical way that every son and daughter can make their Christian mother truly happy. There is a biblical way that every Christian every child can make their Christian mother happy and joyful. And it's not by buying them gifts. It's not by sending them a card. It's not calling them on the phone. But by other ways. You say, how? I'm glad you asked. Because I'd like to go over that this morning. I'm not saying, don't get it wrong, that you shouldn't call or buy a gift or do something nice. But what I'm saying here is there is a biblical way to make her glad. A biblical way to please her. And this morning I'd like us to see three biblical things that every son and daughter, regardless of your age, that you can do to guarantee, that's right, I said guarantee, to make your Christian mother glad. You want to give her lasting joy? Here's how. Here's how. Number one is this. You can make mama glad by your Lord. By your Lord. You say, what do you mean by that? Turn over, if you would, with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. I think we all know the story of Ruth. Elimelech, the Bethlehemite, brought his family to Moab during a time of famine. He made a decision here in the days of the judges when things were not going well. There was a famine in the land and he made a choice, this man Elimelech, to take his wife and his family, this Jewish family, and bring them down to Moab. Jewish family, the seed of Abraham, consisted of Elimelech the father, Naomi the mother, and the two sons of Mahlon and Chilion. While in Moab, the two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman by the name of Orpah. The other married a woman by the name of Ruth, of whom the book is about. And while this family, here they are, father and mother and two sons and daughters-in-law, while they are living there in Moab, tragedy struck. The father Elimelech died, and the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died. And here they are now, father dead, sons dead. And when Naomi, the widow, heard that there was food back in the land, back in the promised land, back where they came from, she decided, I'm going to go back to the land and return to my God and get some food. And as she's leaving, you know the story. She tells her daughters-in-law, goodbye and stay here and so forth. And And in verse 14, we read, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her." Orpah says goodbye. Orpah says to Naomi, "Go ahead back. I'm staying here. I'm staying in the land of Moab." But Ruth, yes, I know it's her daughter-in-law. Technically not her daughter, but it's the same type of relationship. She makes a different decision. Notice in verse 15, she shall behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said this famous statement, this well-known statement, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge." Notice, "thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Ruth chooses to make Naomi's God her God. Can you imagine for a moment what that did to Naomi's heart? As here she was a child of Abraham, of the seed of Abraham, and tragedy struck, and she believed in the one true and living God. And here now Ruth, who was from Moab, makes a decision in her life and says, "I'm not going back to those false gods. Your God will be my God." I'd imagine, at least for the moment, she was elated at that. You know, one of the greatest burdens that a Christian mother has is this: her child's salvation. Her child's salvation. That her child grows up to choose Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, no matter how old that child is, whether that child be 4 or 40, no matter how close that child is geographically or how far they are, more important to every Christian mother for that child, regardless of their age, more important that that child is wealthy, grows up to be wealthy, more important than success, more important than becoming popular, more important than becoming famous, more important than her receiving gifts on Mother's Day, is for a Christian mother to know in her heart that her children, the very ones that she birthed into this world, are saved. What joy that brings. To know that her children know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Do you know that this is one of the greatest burdens that a mother has to carry? Whose God is their child's God? Now, I understand while no Christian mother can make a child believe or force a son or daughter to become a Christian, and no true profession of faith is done solely for the purpose of pleasing someone. But understand, when a child truly gets saved, when they truly come to know the Lord as their Savior, when that child makes mom's God their God, it is absolutely for sure a day of rejoicing for mom. It makes mama glad. I can't tell you how many mothers, young mothers in our church, when their children grow and they make a profession of faith, what that means to them and the joy that they feel because of that. And then I see those that are burdened because their child is getting to that age of accountability and they're wondering, how do I do? What do I do? Do I push this? I want them to get saved, but I don't want it to be my decision. And they carry that burden with them, wondering whether or not this child of theirs that they birthed is going to be with them in heaven. It's a tremendous burden. How many Christian mothers pray every day for their child's salvation? I know a little bit of that. I pray for my grandchildren's salvation every single day. And you guys, and you do the same, I'm sure. Every day that mother prays, pray for little Johnny, or pray for little Susie, that Lord, that you get a hold of their heart and they trust you as Savior. What a daily burden that is to bear when you know that one or more of your children aren't saved. Tremendous burden. In one of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's sermons, he He recorded the burden that his mother felt for his soul. He said, quote, "I remember her once praying, 'Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear a swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Jesus Christ.' And he said every day she prayed for him and his other siblings. And when her son got saved, Charles got saved at the age of 15, it absolutely rejoiced her soul like nothing else in her life, nothing else in his life, that he made a profession of faith and trusted Christ as Savior. She later said to him afterwards, she said, 'I often prayed to the Lord that you'd become a Christian.'" You see, that's the burden that a mom carries. And what makes mama glad is by your Lord, when your Lord becomes, when her Lord becomes your Lord and you get saved. Can I ask you something, child of a Christian mom? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Are you truly born again? Do you understand the burden, if you're not, the burden that you're placing on your mother? If you're not, because she wants her Lord, like Ruth here, to be your Lord as well. And when you get saved, I'll tell you what, you'll make your Christian mother so happy and so glad. She will rejoice because of your Lord. So we see, number one, you can make your Christian mother glad by your Lord. Then secondly, you can make your Christian mother glad by your life. By your life. Go back to our text in Proverbs chapter 23. Notice what we read in verse 24 again. The father, notice the phrase, "of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." What is she rejoicing at? His righteousness. The way he's living his life. You see, you can not only make your mother glad by your Lord, making the God of the Bible your Bible, trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, but also by your life, by living a life that's pleasing to God. That's what every Christian mother desires of her children. You see, the greatest goal of a Christian mother is not merely for her children to be successful. You may say, "Well, I'm successful." She wants something different. It's not merely that, or that you make a lot of money, or that you are merely, well, they're happy, or just merely stay out of trouble. Do you understand this morning that the primary desire of a Christian mother is that her children live for God? That's what she wants. Because she understands that when a child, when a person, any person for that matter, lives for God, that'll take care of everything else. That's why it's the primary goal. You want to make your Christian mother glad today on Mother's Day? Be faithful to church. Well, you know, after COVID, of course. But online. Be faithful to church. Live your life by biblical principles. Live for God. Have a biblical marriage. Have a biblical family. Raise biblical kids. I mean, how many Christian mothers are walking around today with broken hearts because they have a child or children that profess to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they're out of church? You don't think that grieves them? It absolutely does. Or they have a Christian, they have a child that has professed Christ that wants very little to do with God. You don't think that breaks her heart? It does. He sees you, you don't even talk about God, not even concerned about the Lord, you don't mention Him. She comes over your house for a meal and you don't even pray for your meal. She may not say anything, but understand something, inside she's getting eaten away. Breaks her heart. Some children that profess Christ, they go out to bars on the weekend. Well, they know Christ, or they're doing drugs, or they're using filthy language, or they're living promiscuous lifestyles. And your Christian mother's heart is breaking over that. Maybe they attend a church, but they know that it's a church they shouldn't be in. Some liberal church or some compromising church, some CCM church, a church they go to just to say they went. And they deny everything they've been taught and everything they've learned and everything they know to be true from the Word of God. You go over to their house and you see, open their fridge to get a drink, and there it is, wine or beer bottles. You look on their racks and you see these ungodly movies filled with filthy language. You see their music collection and it's filled with worldly music and CCM. And you cry out inside, although you don't say it, that's not how we raised you. I want to say, you know better than that. Your heart's breaking. See, well, I got her a dozen roses for Mother's Day. Great, wonderful. I'm glad you did. And you should have done that. But understand, beneath the surface, as she understands the way you're living, it is absolutely eating her alive. That's what it's doing. She's not rejoicing over your life. Because you're not living for the Lord. An article, Praying for Our Children. This was written years ago. A family went to the mission field with young children. The mother wrote the following. She was a Christian missionary family that went to the mission field. And they were having some issues with their kids on the field. And she writes this: I remember when we were on the mission field and we were struggling with some issues in our family. This is the mom speaking. Writing, I looked at my husband and said, I will not win a nation and lose my own son. That's what she said. That's what a mother goes through. That's what fathers go through as well. We're talking about mothers today. That's what she goes through. She went on to say this: no matter how successful I am in life, if my children do not walk with God, I feel as though I failed in the most important role I've ever been given, the role of a mother. I believe that's the sentiment of every mother as they have a child that knows the Lord and they're living for themselves, living like the world. Inside, it's eating them up and you're causing your mother to feel like a failure. Well, I'll take her out to dinner today or maybe next week or something. That's nice. But you're breaking her heart. You're breaking her heart. You see, if you're listening to me this morning and you come from a Christian home and you've professed Christ as your Savior and your parents have done their very best, we're not perfect. I understand that. But they've done their dead level best to bring you into church and teach you the Word of God and make sure you're in Sunday school and Wednesday night service and they pray for you and prayed with you and you're not living for God. Understand something. You are breaking your mom's heart. You're breaking it. Regardless of how much money you make, regardless of how successful you are, regardless of how big your home is, regardless of how nice your wife and family, well, we're nice people, okay, but you're not living for God. No, regardless of how kind you are to your mom and how many things you do for her, well, I go over and cut her grass, but her heart's breaking because you're not living for God. You know, the good thing to do today would be this. Just go ahead and make both God and your mom, and really yourself for that matter, happy by living for the Lord. Just go ahead and live for God. You know what? It's going to make everything better. Well, that's just your opinion. It's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. And there are eons of history to prove that not living for God is not the better way of life. It's not. Why do you think 3 John verse 4 says this? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Think about that for a moment. No greater joy! As a parent, I understand that. The top thing in my mind is this, is not what they necessarily do for a career or what they're making or how big their home is. My thing and my wife is, are they living for God? Are you walking in truth? That's what I want. And that's what every mother wants. You want to make her happy today? You want to make her glad today? Make her glad by your Lord. Make her glad by your life. There's a third way. And that is this. Not only do you make your Christian mother glad, make mama glad by your Lord and by your life, you can also make her glad by your legacy. You say, what do you mean by that? Go over to 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3. I want you to think about this verse. I can't tell you how many times that I've done a funeral service for a faithful church member, a faithful parent, and sitting out listening are children that have chosen a different lifestyle. And that person has done everything in their power. Not perfect, I understand that. But they get their kids in church, teach them the Word of God, try to live a good testimony. And so often, they've chosen a different path. It's one of the saddest things to me. And I'll explain why here in a moment. But notice what we read in 1 Thessalonians, because this is the verse I often use when I'm trying to portray that truth. Notice Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. Notice what he says. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. That person that's in that casket's life will only live on if you, as their child, live for God. It's true. We live, I can hear them saying it from heaven. Hey, you want to live on the legacy? Live for God. And make a difference for God. And teach it to your children and teach it to their children. You see, there is a biblical principle here that I'm talking about of passing our faith down to the next generation who passes it to the next generation and on and on and on and on it goes. Psalm 78, verse 6 and 7 says this, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise. It's talking about teaching the next generation and then their generation and so forth. Let me read it here in verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. You know, one of the greatest joys for a mother to see is not only your Lord, that you have the Lord as your Savior and your life, but also the legacy that you are leaving. To see you passing on your faith to your children, their grandchildren, and so on and so on and so on. Because a Christian mother's legacy lives on as your faith is passed on. And that rejoices her heart. It's an article written by Joel Beek, November 4th, 2015. He gives the account of someone who said this. Quote, my mother died recently. She had little to pass on to her children financially. But all 5 of us children decided to thank my parents for the one thing they had done for us. They passed their faith on to us. What a treasure that is. What an important thing that is. They're saying their mother passed her faith on to them. And what they did, they in turn did the same thing. You see, one of the things that makes a Christian mother glad, makes mama happy, if you will, is to see the Christian faith continue on generation after generation. That's what makes her happy. Oh, I think of 2 Kings. You don't have to go there. Maybe I can get to it real quick. 2 Kings chapter 22, in verses 1 and 2 says this. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Bashgath. Watch this. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Passed on. I think every first generation Christian has this burden, tremendous burden. You know our story, my wife and I. We, along with several of you, got saved, first generation. And we know what the world is like. We were there. We know what God saved us from. We were there. We know that the world doesn't satisfy. We get that. You don't have to convince us. I don't care how much the devil dangles things out there. We know it's all a lie because we were there. We went after the bait already. When you get hooked in the mouth one time, you try not to get hooked in the mouth again. And we see that. And we know that sin destroys life. We've seen it. We've seen it again and again. We've been in the workplace. We know what it's like. And we know that there's no better life than living for God. We know that. We know that the devil's real too, as well, though. And our heart's desire is to see our kids and their kids continue on for the Lord. The legacy. I remember when we first got saved, we ran into families like the Knickerbocker family. Well, me and my wife, we were the outcasts of our family. Nobody else was saved or living. My brother was, but I didn't know that. I mean, we were the weirdos. We were the ones that were the oddballs. We were the ones that had to leave when, you know, the alcohol started coming out at the birthday parties and that sort of thing. And we were looked down upon. And all that. We understand all that. We fought a lot of battles. And we used to look at families that were Christian families when they got together. I know the Randalls are like that too. They're different, but they're Christian families. And we looked at that. We longed for that. We said, boy, if we had some people we could just talk to in our families that understood what we were thinking, understood where we were coming from, believed that the Lord was saved. Then we could have those little battles, right, about standards and all that stuff. But that family unit of people that know the Lord, listen, don't miss how precious that is. But you see, that's only going to happen in our lives is if our kids live for God and then their kids live for God. That's it. But I'll tell you what it'll do if it does happen, and it is happening, by the way, we're grateful. Is it brings joy to mama and papa. It makes mama glad more than anything else. That we can talk about God. We can pray for our meals. We can talk about the things of God. We talk about church and all of that. What a wonderful thing it is. And what joy it brings to our heart having that kind of legacy. But if someone doesn't get that, they don't see the importance of that, understand something. You're breaking your mama's heart. When they come over, when they see the grandkids or whatever, not having any standards, the junk you put on the TV and the things you're saying to them and you're putting them in public education and all of that stuff, it breaks the heart. Because just like that, the legacy can be gone. All it takes is one generation to turn another way. And then the whole thing's got to start over again. A legacy. You can make mama happy today, make her glad, make her rejoice by your Lord, knowing Christ as Savior, making your God, her God your God, by your life, truly living for God, and then by your legacy, determining in your heart that you're going to pass on what she gave to you to the next generation. That, my friend, is going to bring true joy, true lasting joy to mama for Mother's Day. Oh, don't stop the flowers. Don't stop the dinners. Don't stop cutting her grass and helping her out, painting a room. Those are wonderful things. But understand, if those three things aren't there, although she'll appreciate all of those things, underneath all of those is a broken heart that's saying this, boy, I wish they were saved, but they're not saved. I wish they were living for God. And I wish they were passing this on to the next generation. Making Mama glad. Amen. Let's do it today. Let's pray.